me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden, blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes. When men mock your holy name, when they beat you and spat upon you, Lord, let me love them as you love them just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grieve for man hell-bound eternally. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully.
Good. Well, we're glad to have Brother Ramos with us again tonight. This Sunday he'll be with us for the day, but we're especially thankful for what he brings to us in this area of vision for missions. His church is not only a great church, but it's a great missions church. Not only a great missions church for Mexico, but a great missions church for this world. And Brother Ramos has had the opportunity to travel in many places and preach the gospel, especially in Central America and South America and to Spain. And God has used him in these countries to just stir up the importance of churches and soul winning in their countries also. And I just appreciate the fact he's with us and he's a good friend. And Brother Ramos, you come preach to us tonight. Would you? He's going to play and then preach, not play and then sing. Okay.
Thank you. It's always a wonderful joy to be here with you, and I really enjoy fellowship with your pastor. He's become a very good friend, and there's not too many people you can call a friend, and I've learned that in my life in ministry, but Pastor Johnson, I can call you a friend, and thank you for being my friend, and it's a joy to be here, and it's a blessing to see many folks that I've met in the past and fellowship with, and to see new folks also in the church. And the Lord bless you. Thank you for letting us come. Thank you for your wonderful and gracious treatment of us. Pastor Johnson knows how to eat, amen? And when we come to this place, we always gain weight. And then we go to the Smith, the guest house of the Smiths, and there's food everywhere. But we don't mind it too bad. Thank you so much for your graciousness. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. If you stand on your feet, please, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3, Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of the land, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." I want to speak on a subject, God's eternal plan, the salvation of the world. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this conference, for the wonderful spirit, Lord, that prevails tonight. Lord, thank you for what we just heard, the burden my brother has for the country of Ivory Coast. Lord, will you please work in the hearts of these men? Lord, it's a battle for the soul of this country. And I pray that you please overtake, that the gospel continue to be preached in this country. Lord, I bless tonight. Speak to this church, Lord, and increase their vision, our vision, the burden, Lord, for the lost around this world. As we see, Lord, that your plan and your purpose for all that you do is the salvation of the entire world. Speak to us now. Use us for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, I believe, is a theme of the entire Bible. Genesis 1 through 11, I believe, is the introduction to the Word of God. Here in Genesis 12, we see that God chose a man named Abraham. He chose to bless him, chose to bless his kindred, to bless his children, and make them a great nation. And the Bible says there in verse 2, he says, "And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." I believe that God's promise here still holds true for today. I believe one of the reasons why God has blessed America is because they have stood with Israel. I'm sad they read about what's happening now with the Gaza Strip and how the United States is not backing. In other words, they're taking away land that belongs to the children of Israel, that belongs to the country. But God blesses them that bless Israel. I was reading a prayer letter of a missionary working in New York City with Jewish people. And he was talking about how he had worked, him and his wife had worked with a Jewish lady for 2 years and given her literature and given her Bible studies, but she did not want to believe that Christ was the Messiah. And they had a special Honor Israel Day, and she came to had a special banquet and a special service. And that evening, as the preacher preached, she said she was convinced by the Spirit of God that Christ was the Messiah. During the invitation, she came to the front and she prayed. And Brother Johnson, after she prayed to trust Christ as her Savior, she gave out a yell that could have been heard half a block. She was so overcome that finally she had met her Messiah. You know, and we need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe that means praying for the coming of Christ. Amen. But and we need to reach the lost. And the Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But see, God chose this nation. He chose Abraham's kindred. And we see there in verse 3 why He chose them. At the end of the verse 3, He says, "And thee." Now we know that Galatians says that He's talking about the seed of Jesus. "And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." See, God's purpose in choosing Abraham, God's purpose in blessing this country and blessing these people is that through them, through the people of Israel, all of the children of the earth shall be blessed. And we know that the blessing is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And through Him we have salvation. And through Him we have the knowledge of God. And through Him we know the peace of God and the forgiveness of God. And praise be God for the blessing that He's given us through Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the entire world. What we see here in Genesis chapter 12, we see that God's purpose and all that He is and all that He does is the salvation of the entire world. We see there it says that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Look with me, please, in the book of Isaiah in chapter 45. God's purpose and God's eternal plan is the salvation of all the families of the earth, all peoples, all kindreds, all tribes, all nations. That's His purpose. That's His will that everyone should be saved. We see in the book of Isaiah in chapter 45, beginning with verse 21, the Bible says, "Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who have declared thee from ancient time, who have told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." His purpose and His will is that all people of the earth be saved. And that's God, all that God has done in the past. And all that He has done in the present. And all that He will do in the future is the salvation. Is for the salvation of the entire world. See, God's purpose is salvation. We see, first of all, that's why He gave us Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Please look with me to the book of Revelation in chapter 5. That's why God gave us Jesus Christ, the Messiah. His purpose is that all the families of the earth be blessed. Several years ago, a man and his wife, The Huichol Indians. In Mexico, there's over 55 different Indian tribes live in Mexico. About 15 to 20 million. The Huichol Indians live in the mountains of Nayarit and Jalisco towards the Pacific coast. And the Huichol Indians are the most animist Indian tribe in Mexico. Still, in many of those villages, Catholicism has never been able to take hold of the Indian villages. And several years ago, this Huichol Indian and his wife came and showed up at the door there. I had no idea where they came from, who they were. They came to study in our Bible Institute. Missionary, another Huichol Indian, heard of us and sent them to study there in our institute. He was there for several years, then went back to his people up in the mountains. It takes 5 hours of traveling through curves and dirt roads to get to the village where he's at. And he started a church there about 3 years ago. Now he's running 50 people up in that part of the country. And he came to visit me recently because he's been having some problems, and I gave him some counsel. What a joy. But see, as he began to talk to me, he sat there at our home. He said, "But Lewis, when you go through that trail of 5 hours in the mountains, there's village after village after village of Huichol Indians." And with tears in his eyes, he said, "But Lewis, who will tell them?" And see, God wants all those people to be saved. Isn't that true? Isn't that true that God wants Ivory Coast to be saved? Isn't it true that He wants everyone to hear, at least be able to hear the gospel, be able to hear the wonderful news of salvation? That's why He gave us His Savior, Jesus Christ. His purpose, salvation. His purpose, forgiveness. We see there in the book of Revelation in chapter 5 and in verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take that book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And that is His plan. That is His heart. That's why over 2,000 years ago there in Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as He stood there, as He was crossed and nailed on that cross, He took our sin. He took our condemnation. He took our place. He became sin that we might, through Him, be made righteous before God. And that's why Christ came. And that's why He gave us His Savior, that we, through Christ, may be saved. And what a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to be forgiven. What a blessing to have your name written in heaven. What a blessing to know that when you die, you will go to heaven. What a blessing to have peace with God. What a blessing to lift up your eyes up to heaven and know the Creator God Himself. And He's real to you. But see, His plan and His purpose that all the world, all the nations, all the tribes, all people may know the Savior. That's why He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. And not only that, that's why He gave us the Word of God. We see there in the book of Romans in chapter 3, God chose a people. God chose a nation that through the nation of Israel, we may have the Messiah. But also the Bible says there in Romans in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says there, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." The Bible says that salvation, Jesus said that salvation comes from the Jews. And yes, from them He gave us His Savior, and through the Jewish people He gave us the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, we see there in verse 23 through 25, the Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you." That's why He gave us the Word of God. Because this book has the message of salvation. This book, the Word of God, the perfect Word of God. We know God. We know the Savior. It contains words of eternal life. And His will is that all men have the Word of God. Several years ago, in the country of Brazil, there's some missionaries handing out John and Roman, I'm sorry, New Testaments in a public school there in Brazil. And this missionary gave this boy about 8 years old a New Testament. It was a Gideon New Testament. And he talked to that boy about Christ, and the little boy, he got saved. And he wrote his name and wrote his address there on the New Testament, and the little boy took his New Testament home. When he got home, he went up to his father and said, "Dad, look what a man gave me." The father took that book and he said, "Son, this is no good." Father was involved in witchcraft. And he took the New Testament and he threw it away, and he rebuked his son very harshly for having received that book. Several weeks later, in a different part of town, of that same city in Brazil, there was a man who was considering taking his life. He was a man who was depressed. He was a man who had been drinking, and a man who had problems with alcohol, and was tired of his life. And he took a gun to his head. When he had that gun to his head, at that very moment, his dog came into the place where he was at, and on his feet dropped a little book. And the man, as he saw that dog drop a book in front of his feet, he picked it up, and it was that New Testament. What had happened is that dog was out in the city dump, and he brought that New Testament back to that home. That man picked up that New Testament. He began to read it in Portuguese. Amen. Began to read that New Testament, and eventually, several weeks later, the man came to know Christ as his Savior. He looked through that New Testament. He saw the little boy's name and an address. He said, "This book belongs to somebody else. I'm going to find out who it belongs to." He went to that home in that same city, knocked on that door, and that man came to the door, that boy's father. And he said, "Sir," he said, "this New Testament, this book right here belongs to somebody in this home." That man told him, and he said, "No, sir, I threw that away. That book is no good." And that man said, "No, you know what you're talking about." And he told him his story, and that a man also came to Christ as his Savior. That is the power of the Word of God. And that's why when we go out to the street corners and we preach the gospel, or we knock on doors and we leave the Word of God, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And that's why we're sent to preach it. That's why we're sent to take it to the world, because it contains the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, that's why God gave us His Word, that we may preach it, that we may take it to the ends of the earth. But see, that's why also there in Matthew chapter 16, why God gave us the church. His plan, His purpose, since before the creation of man, was salvation for the entire world. We see there in Matthew 16, a wonderful passage of Scripture. We see there in verse 15, Jesus said unto the disciples, He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter said, "You are God. You are the Son of God. You are God. And also, you are the Christ." He was saying, "You are the Messiah. You are the promised Savior. You are the suffering servant." Then Jesus said there in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," Jesus is referring to himself. But Jesus is referring to what Peter had answered. Peter had said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's saying, Jesus said, "Upon this rock, upon my person, and upon my work, I will build my church." And the purpose of the church is to make known the person of Jesus Christ. It's to live up His name. It's to preach His name. Because that name is above every name, praise the Lord. And with the authority of His name, we take the gospel to the entire world. And also where to preach the work of Jesus Christ. Where I'll tell men and women that He died for them. That He loves them. That He can forgive them. He can change their life. Blessed be God, the church of the living God, is to preach the person of Christ, is to preach the work of Christ in the entire world. And that's why He began His church. That's why He gave us His church, that we may preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe the answer to fulfilling the gospel around this world is that every local church becomes a mission-minded, soul-winning church. I believe that the answer is starting churches all over the world. And then that's the burden God has given us, to start churches all over Mexico. And praise the Lord, we've been able to start 32 churches in the country of Mexico. And praise the Lord, many of those churches are also starting churches. And now they're holding missions conferences and they're supporting missionaries, because see, that's His purpose! His church, sending the gospel throughout the world. That's why He also gave us the Holy Spirit. There in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the most part of the earth. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. Not to have experiences, to speak in unknown, unquote, tongues. It was to preach the gospel. It's to win people to Jesus Christ. A missionary friend of mine named Mark Bachmann, country of Germany, wrote a book recently, last year, called How to Win Muslims to Christ. God is using him in a great way to win Muslims to Christ. And in the introductory part of his book, he gives a story it's an amazing story. Mark Bachmann and his soul winning partner were knocking on doors there in their city where they live in Germany. Came to a door, and the man who answered the door was a Persian from I think from Iran. And the man saw Brother Mark and his soul winning partner, asked him to come in. Didn't ask him their name, didn't ask him what they wanted, just said, come on in. Sat him down, and he put him in his dining room, and he served him tea. And Brother Mark and his soul winning partner just sat to look at each other. The man said nothing. Finally, he sat down, and he asked Brother Mark, can you help me, please? Brother Mark says, what can I do for you? He says, I'm looking for someone, the man said. Brother Mark says, well, I'll help you if I can, but what can I do for you right now? And the man says, he said, I've heard about Christianity. He said, I'm a Muslim, and I want to know how to become a Christian. Brother Mark took the word of God, and several hours later, that man was convinced that Christ was his Messiah also, and he trusted Christ as the Savior, and his wife did too. After the whole conversation, Brother Mark asked him, sir, who are you looking for anyway? He went to his bedroom, came back out with a letter, and that letter was from a friend of his who had been saved in that same ministry. He said, I'm looking for Mr. Mark Bachmann. Tell me that's not the Spirit of God. What a blessing to be led of the Spirit, and when you're and with the power of the Holy Spirit, and blessed be God with His power, we are a majority anywhere in the world, and with His power we can preach His gospel with confidence and with boldness. We can knock on doors, we can start churches, and we can send missionaries. Blessed be God, we have the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why we need revival in our churches, and we need to get back to the fire of God upon our lives and upon our young people, that we may with His power influence this world. That's why He gave us His Savior, Jesus Christ. His plan, the salvation of the entire world. That's why He gave us His precious Word, the Word of God, that when you preach the gospel to every creature. That's why He gave us His church, that His church may send out and preach the gospel around this world, as He gave us the Spirit of God. But you know what? Therefore, then, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the entire world. In America, I read a recent study, there's about 2,800 independent Baptist missionaries around the world. I asked a couple people, and they say there's between 7,000 and 10,000 independent Baptist churches in America today. No, that means that every church, there's only a missionary for every two churches, or less. Did you know that America today is number 16 in sending missionaries around the world per capita? It used to be number one. What has happened in America? And I believe with all my heart, Brother Johnson, that God has blessed this country because of all the missionaries that have been sent from this country around the world. And they've given their lives, and they've given their resources. That's why God has blessed this country. But today, even in America today, churches are dying. No more burden for the world. No more young people saying, Lord, here am I, send me. More interested in making money. More interested in the things that this world has to offer. South Korea. I heard about how that South Koreans when the winds are from south to north, they'll take a big hot air balloon and they'll pack it with tracts and Bibles and portions of scriptures, and they'll send it out, and they'll beg God for that balloon to land somewhere there in North Korea, where their brothers and sisters can also one day have the Word of God and be saved. In the year 1990, South Korea was sending 2,500 missionaries around the world. Today there are 10,000 missionaries from South Korea. In the month of August, I was preaching at a conference in Mexico City, and I met a South Korean, Brother Johnson, a South Korean there in Mexico City had started a church to reach Mexicans. You know that America, if it does not wake up, will lose the blessing of God. It will. And see, and God has called me the country of Mexico. And I tell our folks, it's our responsibility. Yes, we're considered a third world country. Yes, our peso does not work very much around the world, but we have a God who's real. And I've been preaching and having conferences and encouraging our pastors. It's time that we also do our part to reach the world. Brother Rick Martin there in the Philippines, he has a strategy that from the Philippines he wants to reach the world. And I said, Lord, if Brother Rick Martin can have a strategy to reach the world in Mexico, we can have a strategy to reach the world. And I believe every church ought to have a strategy to reach the world. It's our responsibility. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. Yes, we're saved. We have salvation. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a wonderful local church. That's our opportunity and our responsibility to send that to other parts of the world that don't have what you and I have. It's our responsibility. There is an urgency today. Jesus is coming soon. The night is coming when no man can work. There will be a day when no longer can we send out missionaries. No longer can we preach the gospel like we're doing today. Christ is coming today. And I challenge this church to continue to do more for missionaries. I challenge this church to continue to... And God is blessed in giving you a wonderful church and a wonderful facility. But you need to understand that first of all, it's not that building. The first thing is souls. To win people to Christ in your city. You have a beautiful church, but you know what? Do not become proud. Understand that God has blessed you. And continue to give to the work of God around the world. And God will pour out His blessings upon this church. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to get the gospel around the world. It's His plan. It's His purpose. Look with me, please, in the book of Colossians. Colossians, please, in chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 1. I want everybody to look at it because it's a tremendous verse. Paul said, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you." Look what it says here. "And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh." Paul says, in that phrase, Paul says, "I'm completing." That's what he's saying. "And fill up," or completing, "that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church." What is Paul saying there? Paul is not saying that Christ's sufferings were not sufficient, because they are sufficient. They were sufficient. He said, "It is finished." His suffering was sufficient. He gave us forgiveness and salvation. Paul is not... Look with Paul. Paul is not saying that he will somehow help in redemption for sinners through his sufferings. Paul is not saying that. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying this. As Christ suffered for the sake of His church, to redeem His church, to save His church, Paul is saying, I am also suffering for the very same reason. Paul is saying this. As Christ suffered for the salvation of His church, He's saying, I am also suffering for the salvation of souls. If we're going to win the lost, if we're going to take the gospel around this world, we need to be willing to suffer. That's what people do not want to do today. There's a missionary who I've been able to meet two different times. His name is Milton Martin. Milton Martin was a missionary in Mexico for about 45 years. He took the gospel to the southern part of Mexico, and through the churches he started, Brother Johnson, today there's 300 churches in the country of Mexico, in the mountains, in Chiapas, in the Yucatan, and has had an unbelievable ministry in Mexico. Now he's living in the States now. His wife is very sick. I asked him about his wife. He said, but Lewis, he said, when we were in Chiapas in southern Mexico in the jungles, my wife contracted polio. And the polio she contracted affected the upper part of her body. She came to America and was in America for 2 or 3 years in hospitals and finally got it under control. But now in her latter years now, the polio has come back to her. And she says that his son, Bruce Martin, who was a missionary in Honduras, told me that his mother can no longer control her upper body, and her neck cannot control anymore, and she walks around with her head hanging like that. And when he told me that, Brother Johnson, I thought to myself, in his home every day, he's seeing the price he paid to take the gospel to my people. Every day he sees his wife suffering with polio. Because, you know, there is a price to be paid. Can I compare it to what Christ paid for us? But Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. We must be willing to suffer. Must be willing to give of our time, to give of our talents, for the sake of the gospel. We must be willing to sacrifice what God has given us. And my brother, my sister, everything you have comes from heaven. We must be willing to say, Lord, what would you want me to do with what you've given me? We must be willing to send our own around the world. You know, it is biblical to suffer for the sake of others. Book of Ezekiel, please, an amazing passage of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 4, please. We must be willing to suffer. In the month of July, Mitch Benton, graduate of Hall's Anderson College, and his wife, working there in the state of Oaxaca, 4 children. Mitch Benton took his young people. He just started a church a year ago in the state of Oaxaca. Took his young people to a camp on the coast there, on the beach. They had a beautiful camp there with a friend of mine, a Mexican pastor named Joel Herrera. Mitch Benton had taken 4 teenagers who were not saved, and they were just causing havoc. And finally, the pastor this Mexican pastor told Brother Benton, these young people have got to go. They're hurting the spirit of the camp. They're causing problems. You have got to take them. But Brother Mitch Benton said, Brother Hoy, please let me talk to them one more time. He took them aside, and each one of the young men, 4 teenage boys, he gave them the gospel again, and finally they understood. They were saved. Brother Mitch Benton was so excited and told Brother Joel, these four young boys have been saved. Why don't we baptize them? So they went to the beach there and he baptized those 4 young men. And Brother Mitch Benton was so excited that they had gotten saved. And he said, let's go. They walked about 100 yards from where they were baptized, where the camp was at. And they began to play there in the waves there and swim. All of a sudden, a wave came He was with the four young men there in the ocean. Wave came, dragged him, and he disappeared. Found him 3 days later. He drowned to death. And as he was telling me this story, Brother Johnson, Brother Joel Herrera, I couldn't help but think to myself, another North American from the United States of America gives his life for the sake of the souls of others. My wife spoke just recently at a ladies' meeting there in Acatlan, Jalisco, near Guadalajara. Missionary wife, Mrs. Weldon Jones, 2 years ago, her husband killed in a car wreck right near their home there in Acatlan. 7.5 years ago, another missionary, Truett Sewell, with four other men from our church traveling north from our city, was killed in a car wreck, died on the side of the road. Yet another American missionary gives his life for the sake of the salvation of other people. And Brother Johnson, that, honestly, that moves me. And as I preach around my country, I ask them, where are the Mexicans dying for the sake of souls around this world? It'll take sacrifice. The Bible says there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4. Ezekiel, chapter 4. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast them out against it, and set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Or overtake thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. Thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I appointed thee each day for a year." What an amazing thing the Lord told Ezekiel to do. But I want you to notice that the Lord said, "Ezekiel, I've laid the iniquity of my people upon you." There needs to be families. There needs to be young people willing to go to a part of this world and bear the iniquity of those people. Suffer for them. Pray for them. Give their lives for them. You know, there is a cost to be paid. But we live in a world where everybody wants comfort. Nobody wants to sacrifice anymore. And if this world is going to be reached, it's going to be reached through families sacrificing. Saying, "You know, we actually don't need to buy a new sofa this year. Why don't we increase our offerings for missions?" A missionary friend of mine said this, "Every Christian should be willing to go. But if he doesn't go, he needs to send a substitute. Because we are responsible for the salvation of the world." In the early 1900s, I'm sure you've heard of the famous Boxer Rebellion there in China. You know that was started, that began because of a false rumor? The Chinese people heard a rumor that there were some American companies and engineers going to combine with European engineers to go and tear down the Great Wall of China. Actually, that started in Kansas City. One early Sunday morning, three or four newspaper men got together, and they had nothing to write about, so they made up this story, and they put in the front page there in Kansas City. But that story got to Chicago, got to New York, and it got to China. It was a lie. It was a made-up story. and incensed the Chinese people against foreigners. And they took to the streets, and with sticks and with machetes, they killed hundreds of missionaries like animals on the streets. They had to flee the country. Many, many missionaries had to flee the country in the early 1900s. After it was all said and done, one of the mission boards that was started by Hudson Taylor. They had over 700 missionaries in China at the time. 300 had died. 300 had died on the streets of China. They sent out missionaries to America and to England to make a plea to send 300 to take their place. A year after they had sent out the plea to take the place of 300 missionaries in China, with no promise of support, with a possibility of also dying in China, within a year, Brother Johnson, 300 missionaries from America and from England took their place. I wonder if that happened today, what would be the response? We're not willing to sacrifice anymore for people to be saved. I want to say this again tonight. I thank the Lord for Americans who have suffered for my people to be saved. And that's why I feel I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to my Savior. I'm a debtor to the American missionaries that have given their life for my country. But we need to be willing to sacrifice. His purpose, His plan, the salvation of the entire world. We must be willing to go, to send the sacrifice to fulfill His purposes. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the heart of this church, for souls and for world missions. Lord, I pray that You'd move our hearts to be willing to do our part, to be willing to sacrifice, to give, to pray, to be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Heavenly Father, please increase our burden. Increase our faith. Help us to be willing to do our part, to sacrifice that others may be saved. Lord, if You're calling out someone from this church, may they be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Speak to hearts, Lord, please, tonight. We beg of You. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet, please, tonight with heads bowed.